overwhelmed with your child's problem? I was. And God sent somebody with this scripture promise. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. I know there are a lot of children with problems today, and God sent me to help you, to share with you that healing and health and success are part of your salvation covenant. Listen to this. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their total well-being. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in working order. God wants total well-being for all children. That's God's will. Let's work together to take it by faith. I'll be right back. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Glory to God. Welcome back to the Great Shalom Broadcast. We're going to talk today about how to pray, and specifically about praying in the name of Jesus. So glad you could join us today. We have been in a series going through 1 John. And we talked about how to love our children and how real the resurrection was for us and relevant. And last time we were talking about how to pray, and specifically how to pray in confidence, because we know we are praying according to God's will, because we are approaching a God who is love and has asked us to. And we should know His will, and His will for us is good. And therefore, we can pray with confidence, knowing that we have, present tense have, not might get, not will get, but have what we have asked of Him. And so we pray in great confidence. But right before that, it said that the Apostle John was saying that he was writing to us because we believe in the name of Jesus. And so I want to talk today about what that means. We believe in the name of Jesus, and you probably do. If you're a Christian, you say, sure, I believe in the name of Jesus, but what does that mean? The name? What's the big deal about the name? And I've been asked specifically in the past, well, why is it that we have to say in the name of Jesus? Do our prayers not count if we don't say in the name of Jesus? So I'm going to answer that. What is this about the name? Glory to God, and it's all good. It is great. It is wonderful. We were in 1 John 5 and the 13th verse. Read that here quick, so everybody will be caught up with us. But I wanted to go to Ephesians. Here we go. 1 John 5 and 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. And we've already talked in our series about what eternal life means. Yes, that means going on and on, everlasting, but really is also a quality of life. And we say, even though we are saved by faith and confession, that also our whole life is lived according to those same principles. So we're going to talk about praying in the name of Jesus. So we know we believe in the name of Jesus, but that means more than, okay, this is our religion because we have this name for God and you have another. That's not, that doesn't begin to get into it. When the Jews of Jesus' day said, God has given him the name, So when the Jews talk about the name, they say Hashem. And they say Hashem rather than saying the personal name of God. Because the personal name of God, which Bible scholars a number of decades ago ineptly and inaccurately said was Jehovah. So that's not exactly right. But that word, the tetragrammaton, the four letters, so holy that they would not be pronounced. And even Jesus is very respectful when he talks about God and he says the kingdom of heaven. See, in Matthew being written to Jews by a Jew, depicts Jesus as saying the kingdom of heaven, whereas Luke will spell that out because he's writing to Gentiles in Rome and they may not understand. So he says the kingdom of God to them. But Jesus went around and used this very respectful kind of language, not just every day pronouncing the personal name of God. And we do that still. Still, that is the appropriate way to speak English, is we don't use people's personal names unless we have a personal relationship with them. We use people's title. For instance, if I'm doing business in a good bank, I walk in the door, they're going to use my title and my last name. But my girlfriend, who I grew up with, might call me by my first name. And so this is appropriate, respectful way to comport oneself in English. Even in today's world of great informality and disrespect, how much more about God? So the Jews will say Hashem, the name, and they won't say God's personal name, even though it was clearly given to them. God gave Moses his personal name at the burning bush, and that name is in Scripture. But if a devout Jew is reading Scripture, they'll read it without pronouncing the name. So we're talking about Father God saying the name. Now Jesus is given the name. So when we read in English, Jesus is Lord. Of course, it was written in Greek, right? And the Lord is Kyrios. Well, that's the Greek word for God. But the Greeks, not being Hebrew, had languages don't map exactly. So the Greeks didn't have a word really for God's personal name. That's a Hebrew word. And so to say Jesus is Lord is awesome, shocking. Well, it was, in fact, a little bit awesome and shocking in the Greco-Roman world. Emperors had a little question about Christians saying that Jesus was Kyrios, that Jesus was Lord, because those emperors increasingly wanted to be Lord. Hadrian said, are we going to put up with these Christians because Jesus is their only Lord and therefore they don't worship me? And Domitian didn't just ask the question. He used Christians for torchlights for his garden parties because he wasn't going to put up with it. He wanted to ensure that you worshiped him. And now Jesus, please let me interrupt just to make a correction. It was actually Pliny, who was governor of Bithynia, who wrote and asked Emperor Trajan whether or not he should continue persecuting Christians in the year 107 Anno Domini, and is quoted in the Fox's Book of Martyrs and elsewhere. So, yes. Anyway, back to the point about the name. The Judeo-Christian faith has always been monotheistic. And so when Christians say that Jesus is Lord, they're making a very strong claim for who Jesus was. Sure, Jesus was a man who lived in history and walked around in a body such as ours, a flesh and bone and blood body. But he was raised. And now he's in a flesh and bone body and not a blood, because his blood was spilt, but he was raised and given the name. It's a very awesome, powerful claim. And what does that mean for us in prayer? Let us turn now to the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. So Paul's writing this letter. This is an awesome book. And let's start verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18 of Ephesians. Paul, Apostle Paul, is writing, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Then, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Glory to God. So that was Ephesians, portion of the first chapter. And there's so much in that, but I hope you understand in Paul piling up glorious phrase upon glorious phrase that he's talking about the power of God that's for us. What I want to specifically point to is in that 21st verse, it says, far above every name. Jesus has been raised from the dead and given the name that is far above every name. Far above all rule and all authority, all power and dominion. Right, so he's talking about every authority on earth and every authority in the heavenlies. Above every name that can be named. Well, there's only one name that's above all that can be named, and that is the name Hashem. Jesus was given all authority. It says that in Matthew, when he comes back and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and go. So he commissions us with his authority. Jesus lives in us, and we live in Christ. We live in him. And so what does that say about the power with which we pray? It's just awesome. It's awesome. The power of the universe creator, and even greater, the power of the universe redeemer, is lodged in us and for us. And we get to partner with God through praying. There can be no greater honor. There can be no greater power. And therefore, we should have confidence when we pray. And so it is not magic when we tack on in the name of Jesus to our prayers. And maybe that's how you've been acting, like, oh, please give me this, please give me that, in the name of Jesus. But no. Now you have heard this. It is much more powerful. You have been given. It's like, imagine this. If you had a commission from the United States military that you were to go out and take a particular piece of property. Some enemy had taken over Florida. I don't know. I'm just picking out something. And you were given a generalship. Now you're going to be the army. And you've been given, 1,000 tanks. And you'll be given air support by the Air Force. And you're in charge of the mission. And you've been told, on the authority of the American people, you are to go and take back this property, which is Florida, and you're going to command. All right? So you sit in your command central, and you're the authority. So you say, we're going in on this day, we're going on in this way, and so you're going to send the command to whoever your support is in the air support, and then you're going to command the tanks to go in and to secure the property. And you don't say, if you'd like to, or maybe, or I hope this will work. You say, I'm General so-and-so, this is the command, you know, and that's it. And it, because you have a commission from the high command, then your will is carried out. And don't you know the U.S. military would take back Florida? I don't know why Florida's coming up. Anyway, that's the way it is. We have a commission from the King of the Universe, and we have his full faith and the credit and the power of his name, his authority, his nature backing us up. Oh, we serve under the high command, right? We serve under Jesus, and we better be issuing orders according to the Great Commission. But we've got the full backing of all of the forces, spiritual and natural, because we wield the name. So never again tack it on as if it were part of the ritual, but have good respect for it. For it is higher than all names that can be named, higher than any occult power, higher than any angel, higher than any governmental authority, higher than any diagnoses, oh yeah, higher than brain injury, higher than dyslexia, higher than autism, higher than mental retardation. Those are simply labels. And those labels have a certain amount of power. But they are small in comparison to the name Hashem, Jesus. And so you go out and enforce that, that creative, resurrecting, healing power. You speak the name of Jesus according to the Great Commission that you have been given, the mandate of your vocation as being a mother, the mandate of your vocation as being a teacher, your mandate, your vocation as being a preacher of the Word of God. You speak that blessing because God wants shalom for his people, and that includes your children. It's a covenant of shalom. It is the blessing of Adam, of Abraham, of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Hashem. I just don't know if I can say anything else after that. It's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my listeners now. May they connect with you in faith and receive healing, receive insight, receive blessing, receive prosperity, receive new life in you. For them and for their children and for their students. Lord, I pray for turnaround in families, turnaround in classrooms, turnaround in schools, turnaround in nations, in the mighty, matchless, all-powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you for it. Thank you. Amen.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
If you're interested in how to pray better, I think you will be interested in my study
guide called How to Contend for Your Children. It will take you step by step into praying, what you believe, and saying what you pray. And it's available. If you just go to the website, you can click through and get it. www.greatshalom.org. And incidentally, it's good not only for individual study, but also as a turnkey group study. It's called How to Contend for Your Children. So you can get it. Just go onto the website at www.greatshalom.org. You can click through and they'll send it to you.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
And so I speak healing for all kind of mental deficiencies. I speak healing over all kind of injuries. I speak healing of lameness in studies. I speak opened eyes, opened ears, loosed tongue, strengthened hands and feet. Most of all, I speak the healing of hearts, the hurting hearts of parents, of teachers. I speak encouragement. I speak courage. I speak kratos, might to get things done. I speak encouragement. I speak stirring up. I speak arising. I speak an awakening of nations to righteousness. I speak an arising of an army of teachers who rise above the fray, who know that it can be done, who speak the word of faith into the dark night and light the lights of faith in many hearts, in a generation, that the generation would rise and be strong and do exploits, that they would rise to success in all kinds of vocations, that they would learn and they would inspire. They would be equipped and they would lead. And that it's passed on from generation to generation in love, in grace, empowerment, in faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us into your great plan. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Please write me and tell me what you received. Tell me how your vocation has been strengthened, encouraged. Tell me about the healing of your children. Would you do that? Write us at info@greatshalom.org by email, or you may write me by regular land mail at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Of course, that's in the United States of America. The Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630 in the United States of America. And please come to the website at www.greatshalom.org. Info, I-N-F-O, at great like big, G-R-E-A-T. Shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.org. So it's www.greatshalom.org. We have free offer there for you. If you, for any donation, we'll send you out a CD entitled God Wants Healing, Health, and Wholeness. We have a variety of other books on the website. And you're invited to blog. So I just have a number of comments there on the blog, and you're invited to participate in that. And we would particularly like to ask you to pray with us and for us. We have a great mandate from the Lord to speak faith into and over those who teach children. Of course, that's first off, parents, because parents are, of course, the first and most important teacher of children, but also we would like to encourage those who are professional educators or educators in the church. And so if you would partner with us in your prayers, with your financial support, we're believing to fulfill and fulfill well the mandate, the command of God on this ministry. And we would invite you to pray with us, to work with us, to support us. And at the very least, you can punch that share button and let people know we would like to get the word out. And we are hearing that we're encouraging some people. We'd like to encourage some more people. So we need partnership, because that's what it's all about. Really, God has invited us to partner with Him, and we're inviting you to partner with us in that great mandate as you're directed by the Lord. So we are delighted and honored to serve you in that way, to partner with you in your calling. And if you would partner with us in ours, then circulation of blood in the body. That's the way it works, doesn't it? And we can all get some of that oxygen. All right, so once again, the website is www.greatshalom.org, and incidentally, you can contribute online. And then the address again is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. In the United States of America, let us know what you're receiving. Let us know how we can help you and how you can help us. Just as it says, let him who is fed the word communicate in all good things with the one who teaches. Glory to God. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being, a shalom, for all children. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.
The Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry is a faith ministry. Not only do we teach faith, we also depend on faith. We depend on the Lord supplying us through you. So we thank you for your offerings and your partnership, and we are recognized as a 501c3 organization by the U.S. government. Thank you so much.